I want to start my my few minutes of discussion with what Amit concluded. Labor productivity should not be a source of profit, but rather we should have a system of production and a system of distribution where labor productivity is to expand the material things we produce to meet basic needs, to be people-oriented, and to be respectful of the environment while you're doing that. Because there are all kinds of costs that are visible and invisible, and we are discovering this as time goes on. The trouble is that this is not a capitalist system, because labor productivity changes not to satisfy needs of humanity, but because there is intense competition between firms. And whether they are nationally competing or internationally, globally competing, competition has been with us as long and for as far back as capitalism has existed. Therefore, when I look at globalization and when I look at financialization, what I see is actually international institutions and arrangements that facilitate the process of accumulation for some, breaking down barriers that restricted essentially the ability, I will not say only of the hegemon, of expansion. So when, without going really into that direction, I want to stop myself here, for I have to rein myself back. But the point is, if we are living in such a society, it is not enough to say that we are going to get rid of the IFIs. The crux of the matter has to do with national determination of policies. And that is an internal struggle, actually. I want to talk to you, this is the discussion that I am supposed to conclude with this panel, about employment of last resort and why it has become my personal obsession for the last 3 years. No matter how I would like to see things change, I know that they are not going to change now. Not tomorrow, not in a month, not in a year. I hope that some processes get put in place where Latin America first and a lot of other countries and continents can follow to bring about a different social contract, a different social order. But what I know is that whether I live in a developed country or in a developing country, and resistance movements notwithstanding, unemployment and people losing their jobs is going to be with us. This is not meant to be a substitute for what Amit was describing. If people become jobless, if people become unable to have access to any kind of work to secure their livelihood, because there is land usurpation, I really don't want to see NREGA take up that space and provide jobs. That is not what employment of last resort is meant to be. Having said that, and recognizing that within the market system, there is absolutely no process of bringing about full employment for every person that has as their sole means of survival their own labor. If you have land, if you live in a rural area, if this is different. But for whoever cannot have access to any other form of livelihood, it has to become the responsibility of the state to ensure that there is an entitlement. This is not to impose it on anyone. It is a space of entitlements. So the right to work, it's not something that was invented 3 years ago. Actually, in India, it has been a struggle for many, many years. It is the result of social movements. And what I want to talk to you about is one, I think, simple idea. when the space is there, I'm not even going to create the advocacy. I made my statement already, and you all know where I'm coming from. But when and if the space, politically speaking, is there, to supplement employment generation with an employment of last resort or employment guarantee policy program. One of the things that I think we should all fight for is space to make some types of jobs visible, jobs that have been performed for a very long time but do not get remunerated. And what I mean by that is what women do as unpaid workers, not only caring for their immediate families, but caring for communities. And I want to speak very briefly in the remaining, I guess, 5 minutes that I have. I want to speak about the case of HIV/AIDS and home-based care. In an ideal scenario, you would not have home-based care, actually, delivery, as the prevalent form of service delivery for any kind of disease. You should have appropriate spaces and appropriate treatments and appropriate environments for people to improve their living conditions while they are sick, they are infected, they are recovering, or they are in the process of dying. But that is not what is prevailing, and that is not what is happening in sub-Saharan Africa for sure, and in many other countries. So now the option that we have is either girls will be withdrawn because they are being withdrawn from schools, not to take care of the patients, but to carry the water, because you need three times the amount of water to maintain minimum sanitary conditions. It is not enough. It is six times, actually, but three for sure. And we know what the repercussions of all this is on women's time and on children's time. So what has emerged? NGOs that will do volunteer work and will ask communities to get minimal training, which is not sufficient, actually, to care for anybody. The people that are contributing this work that is volunteer, called volunteer work, are people that come from very poor households that themselves are unemployed, and I'm speaking about South Africa specifically. It's a country that I know a little bit more about. And therefore, when the space exists to have an employment of last resort, just because it has been these so-called volunteers that have been delivering the service in terms of home-based care, it does not mean that this is not a job that is that warrants our attention to formalize it. Now, when we formalize unpaid work, and when we regularize unpaid work, the ideal scenario is really that the government undertakes this as part of their normal expenditures in their budgetary allocations of the year within the Department of Health, Department of Education, and what have you. But the same goes for building roads and maintaining schools. The allocations should be there, but they are not. So when we have these spaces and we look for jobs that fill in backlogs and create actual employment and income for people, I think there is enough experience in this room to identify what are the kinds of job creation that we can strive for that will achieve simultaneously reduction of unpaid work, generation of income and some employment, but also the actual provisioning of the service, because we rely, in order to secure our daily needs, not only on wages and income that we get from the market, but on what services the state delivers and what services and goods households produce for themselves, whether they do it through gathering and collection of free goods or whether they actually produce it at home. So what we are talking about here is expanding the space of commodities, actually, by mobilizing labor and by adding to the skills that women already have in producing these services and goods so that you achieve better quality of these services that are being produced. Remuneration is there, reduction of unpaid work is there, from where I stand, that is a win-win situation for women that happen to live and to be born, perhaps, into households that live in poverty. Thank you.